This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I like this a lot.
Tom Waits to write that verse, right? I'm in heaven when
you smile. Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy, filling in for Frank and Martin as they make their way back to the Lou from Boston via Chicago sometimes. It happens like that. Frank Cusimano joining us in the previous segment. Strick over the phone, correct, Brian Hoffman, at around 11 o'clock?
At about 11 o'clock, yes.
In the meantime, by the way, get your text in, 855-282-8255. I'll tell you what, I'll read a few of them right now, but get them in for the rest of the show. We'll continue to hit up the text line. Hockey Bob, checking in multiple times. The Blues did not get outplayed last night. They were pacing themselves, okay, in the same manner that Rocky did versus Clubber Lang in Fight 2. It was the perfect game plan to give Boston false hope. It worked, didn't it? Hashtag cup or bust. I don't know if he's being serious, but I love that analogy.
I could see Hockey Bob and Paulie doing the same thing. No, he's getting mad.
Paulie.
He's getting mad.
Yeah, but I don't think the Blues went out in the first period and said, okay, we're just going to take some jabs, but we're going to win. I mean, they actually,
true.
I mean, they just got outplayed in the first 10 or so minutes, almost the whole first period, and it wasn't because lack of trying. I think Boston just had that, you know, that extra burst of
they
energy.
Brought...
That obviously doesn't last a whole game, but
no.
Certainly it was, you were on the edge of your seat, and as a Blues fan, you're thinking, you know, if they can sustain this pressure, this might be a long night. Bennington, of course, the man.
Now, was that the Rocky movie where he said, you ain't so bad. You ain't so bad.
Yep.
You ain't nothing. I ain't breathing hard.
Yeah, Clubber Lang.
Right?
That was Clubber Lang. That's
I'm paraphrasing.
Yep.
I think that was that fight. Let's see here. 314, Boston is running on fumes. They're down to a gawky teen flipping the bird at us. If you saw that
yes.
Gentleman with the nice seats flipping the bird at the Blues as they walk off the ice. Let's see, where the Blues have a Hall of Famer to fire the one-finger salute. That is a good kind of comparison. The previous game, you had Brett Hull, a Hall of Famer, flipping off the Bruins bench. All that Boston had was this skinny twink guy.
Now, who's the...
this fan.
Is that what he was?
Now, okay. Who's comparable for the Cardinals as a former player, well-liked, kind of has fun? Is Mike in the Cardinals... Mike Shannon comparable to like the Brett Hull?
Yeah.
To where he kind of had that free reign. He can kind of wander around anywhere in the clubhouse, in the stands. Can kind of say
accurate.
Things that some don't. And they both, you know, like to have a good time. We'll just say that.
Marshan on the text line, 314, speared Benny twice but only got called once. Boston has received the favorable calls or non-calls all series. Stinky Sullivan from the 618 says, the big difference between the bad calls was the hand pass ended the game instantly. Last night's trip, let's see, I got to find this, it buffered. Last night's trip, they still had 10-plus minutes to play and score the rest of the game. Hockey Bob checking in once again. He wants us to take calls. He says, you folks ain't taking any calls? Great. I've literally watched every game of these playoffs, and the Blues have had more bad calls against them than any other team, yet they are one win away. Hashtag take that. You Bostonian whiners. Jimmy D, Cassidy must be in the NHL's ear. Barbie has a hearing today with Shanny for his hit on Johansson.
And I'm guessing he's going to get suspended.
You got to think he's going to get suspended.
I think he's out for game six, which is annoying. But I think the writing's on the wall there. I think this kind of calms the Bruins fan down a little bit, although I don't know if that's their thinking, but I think a suspension... At least they're showing the fan base that they're doing something.
It's both
and it was,
sizing the situation, which is just so stupid. Like, okay, you guys
didn't
get a penalty call, so we'll suspend a player on the opposing team. It's so dumb.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Chase was on the TMA this morning, and he mentioned that you guys asked him early on, right away, what did he think about this? And he said something I thought was interesting. He said, well, more than likely, he had a talking to already about keeping the hits, keeping down, don't target the head, that kind of thing, especially in the San Jose series. So this is probably a little extra. So now we're going to call him in. He's going to get his one game
suspension. And I've seen every game, but I could be wrong and missed a couple. I can recall three. That's from not only the Shark series, but this series as well. I think you brought up that, Jim. And we can be hometown fans and say, you know, the calls have gone both ways. You know, they make calls on the other side as well. However, Barbashev does have that tendency to put that elbow or shoulder close to the head. Intentional or not, I think that's just somewhat have been his more aggressive style in the playoffs. And so I would completely agree with Kelly Chase that I'm sure he's been warned. So I'm guessing I would be surprised if
let's say call you
not,
in.
Yeah.
We found that out with Sundquist. He's probably getting a game.
Let's hear from Bruce Cassidy and his postgame comments, which Brian Hoffman titled Giant Baby Postgame.
Well, those are the hits they want to get out of the game, correct? That's what I hear a lot about. Clearly, they missed a couple tonight. It's a fast game. I sat here 2 days ago or whatever it was. I said I believe these officials are at this level because they've earned the right to be here, and you should be getting the best. But, I mean, the narrative changed after game three. There was a complaint or whatever put forth by the opposition, and it just seems to have changed everything. I mean, the non-call on Achari, their player's on his way to the box. I mean, they're the only – it's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. Our guy's gone. The spotter took him to – took him out of the game for a possible concussion. I mean, it's blatant. It had a big effect in the game. I mean, this has happened. I'm a fan of the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs. And here's another one that's going to be talked about. I thought it was a great hockey game. That call probably – I mean, there's time, but it – you know, really made it difficult for us to get the win tonight. So I'm disappointed. You know, so I guess to answer your original question, it was egregious. But we're moving on. We're getting ready for game six.
You better.
Quit your crying.
Love it. And I understand his take, and he's lobbying for his team. And look, it most likely was a bad call. Was that the reason they lost? No. Was that a factor? Yes. Has every team in this postseason dealt with a bad call? Yes. Have the Blues dealt with probably the worst or one of the worst? Yes, they overcame it. And as one of our texters said, that ended the game, the hand pass. Here's what I will say, though, where I agree with Bruce Cassidy. The officiating has been terrible the entire postseason. And it is a black eye on the league because, I mean, how many, just off the top of your head, can you mention? Think about the Vegas, the penalty call,
which
swung the series in a game seven. And, I mean, you had the San Jose Sharks benefit from that call, and you had the offsides as well, and you had the hand pass, and now you have this. So when you have your championship and your playoff run, you don't want the officials to be talked about this much, and that's certainly been the case throughout this postseason for the NHL. There's been a lot of focus on the officiating throughout the last couple months.
It was missed. I don't know how else I can, it was a missed call. The other side of it is Boston quit playing. And that was a bad goal given up by the goalie, Rask. That was just a bad goal. It should have never went in. It was a rebound off of the defenseman that Perron just threw at the goal, and Rask was out of position off of that, and it just bounced in off of him. It happened.
And we talked about it in this morning's program that, you know, Cassidy, during his post game, and they asked about the health of Achari, said, well, he had to be taken off for, you know, concussion protocol, making it sound like, you know, it may be a game time decision.
But it was a great game.
But then Achari, they ask, the first question they ask him is, how are you feeling? He goes, oh, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling okay. So I lose sympathy for the fact that, quote unquote, he went out, you know, of the game. He was fine. He was chirping at the refs right after the call. He skated off just fine. I'm not saying there was a conspiracy there, but it just seemed like, you know, Cassidy's calling for, like, you know, headhunting when Achari was just fine. I just didn't get those two counterpoints. I mean, it didn't make sense.
I just think, though, that the second the game ends, and that whether you're a coach or a player, nothing you can do after the game or say is going to change or impact the game you just won or lost. However, I do think, as we alluded to earlier, what you say in your post game and how the narrative is created over the next couple of days, it impacts how future games are called and also if a suspension is levied. And that's where clearly when Sundquist was suspended earlier, you just knew that was happening. You knew it was happening from kind of the talk after the game. In the same way now with the discussion after last night's game and that Barbashev has a hearing, I mean, wouldn't you guys all be shocked if he's not suspended?
Oh, so yeah,
I think
absolutely,
Cassidy,
yes.
Again, I don't agree with everything he says, but once the game ends and he's focused towards game six, he's now lobbying and doing anything he can to try to create storylines or benefit his team moving forward in the rest of the series.
Weird how he thinks that all of this turned after game three, which just happened to be the last game Boston won.
It is. Think of this. Back to my point I said earlier. Boston has scored one goal since the second period of game three at home. They did score no goals in the second, no goals in the third. They only got one goal last night. That's on them. They're not good enough. They got to be better. And yes, the call went the other way. They were not good enough. Here's something else, and I know we got more sound. I don't know. I don't think we have any responses. Was he ever asked, did playing 7D affect the way you guys played last night?
He was asked that.
Did he? Okay.
I watched his post game.
Okay, I didn't get to see that part.
And he basically said, and he was very candid with us. He said, look, the reason we did that is because they didn't know what they're going to get out of Z, as he said. They didn't know what they're going to get out of Chara. They wanted some protection in case he couldn't play late, which was the case.
He was a complete liability. I get that is, you are extremely strong. I mean, that's really tough to do, break your jaw and come back. That's a true man. And I respect NBC for bringing that up, but, I mean, he was an absolute liability on that. Avoiding checks, tripping on the ice, just really not really seeing the puck as well, maybe due to the face guard or what have you. But to me, it was like the Carlson situation. It's nice that he's showing his team he's tough, but in the end, you had to dress an extra defenseman because you're kind of, you know, a scholarship player at this point, and you had to dress him based on he's a captain and he gives good pregame speeches. I'm not quite for sure what the edge was outside of the pregame, because when you actually get on the ice and play, well, clearly it wasn't 100%.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what they were going to get from him. I mean, he was playing 22 minutes a game coming in. I don't think they expected that coming off a broken jaw, reportedly, a couple days earlier. But I do get why they did that, just not knowing what you're going to get from Zdeno Chara throughout that game. I thought what was interesting, last night on Fox 2, we're doing the postgame, and we're hearing from Alex Pietrangelo. And it's just interesting how things sometimes come full circle. There's been a lot of discussion, obviously, about David Backes in this series and the former Blues captain. And when I was listening to Alex Pietrangelo speak, the first thing I thought of is, just think about it. 4 years ago, David Backes is the captain of the Blues. They make their run to the Western Conference Final. David Backes leaves, gets the big contract. It's all good. Get your money with the Bruins. And then 3-4 years later now, Pietrangelo, the new captain, is talking after a big win. The Blues are now one win away from the Stanley Cup, first in franchise history, and David Backes was a healthy scratch for the Bruins last night.
That was a bit of a turnaround.
He did not look happy. He did not look happy. I saw him on one of the shots.
He's probably out for probably a healthy scratch for game six, too, right, following what happened in game five?
You would think. That's on Cassidy and what he's got to do to shake things up, because it wasn't good enough and they had the home ice advantage.
Well, if David Backes is a healthy scratch and won't need to play, he doesn't need to be at the Enterprise Center. And if you don't have tickets to game six, might I suggest you head out to 99 Hops House at Hollywood Casino. Joining us right now is our director of marketing, Micah Skillington. Micah, how are you this morning?
I am fantastic. How are you guys? A little sleepy because I stayed up a little late watching the Blues play, but
definitely a late night. Hopefully, just one more late night left. That'll be Sunday night. Micah, why is 99 Hops House the place to be to watch a game on Sunday?
You know, the energy is just going to be amazing. I mean, come on, let's face it. Like, winning at home would be fabulous. We have some great food specials going on that night. We have the Icebreaker, which is a spinach and artichoke dip with tortilla chips. We also have the penalty box, which is a great sweet and spicy burger with Cajun burger kind of stuff, candied bacon, jalapenos. What else would you want on a burger?
Wow. And after a full night of hanging out at the bar, having a few drinks, eating some food, Probably the safest approach after that would be just to book yourself a room at the hotel.
Absolutely. Why not just make a whole night of it, right? Make it just a little staycation. Come here, hang out, watch a Blues game, celebrate a little bit on the casino floor, and then just stay here and make a night out of it.
How was the atmosphere last night at the Hops House during the game?
It was crazy. You know, it was definitely an intense game, and everybody was glued to those TVs. So it was, when they won, wow, it was a lot of fun. So it was definitely a good night.
Once again, 99 Hops House, Hollywood Casino, the place to be Sunday night if you aren't among the lucky 17,000 who happens to have a ticket to Sunday night's Game 6. Head on down to Hollywood Casino down out in Maryland Heights. Micah, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Have a great day.
That is Micah Skillington, the marketing director of Hollywood Casino.
All right, let's get back to our post-game sound here. And we played Bruce Cassidy and his complaints about the officiating. Here's Craig Berube responding to Cassidy's complaints last night.
That my comments changed?
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but it doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge your officials and calls that could have been or couldn't have been. They go both ways. I mean, there's calls the other way that could have been called and they weren't. So I don't know what to say about that. I really don't want to say anything about it. We're the least penalized team in the playoffs. End of story. I don't need to talk about any more about it.
I love Berube's disposition. It's just so wonderful.
There's a lot of truth in what he said.
And look, again, in terms of your team bouncing back, I do sometimes think that as fans or media, like if a player says something after a game, and then we'll say, oh, they're distracted because that's all they're focused on. But you can say something after the game and then turn the page and focus on the game. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I do think there was something to the way the Blues responded after the hand pass. And it was clear in the reporting afterwards, when we all asked the Blues about it, that Craig Berube basically told his team, look, just don't talk about it, right? Just, it happened. You can't change the call. That's officiating, and move on, and let's just focus on the next game. And that's why you didn't really hear any Blues. Am I wrong? Did you hear any Blues complaining?
No.
Did you hear? I mean, Craig Berube was asked about it, and he retorted back to the media, well, what did you think? What did you see? I mean, it was very obvious, but it did seem like the second that happened for the Blues, it was turn the page, and then they go on to win the series. So I'm not saying just because this is talked about now that all of a sudden Boston is, they're only focused on this bad call. They're not going to prepare for the game. I don't think that's the case. But it sure does seem like the response to a bad call from the Boston side of things, it was different than the Blues side of things after the hand pass.
The only thing I vaguely remember out of that was Petro, because he was the go-to guy, the captain. He basically said, yeah, you saw it. I'm not going to say any more about it. I guess there was couple set of rules there. We're moving forward. That was it. Out of the Boston locker room, all you heard was complain. I get it. You're upset, but their narrative is not the same. Their way of addressing it is not the same as what the Blues did. We saw that the Blues, and the way they did it, was super successful. I want to see how it plays itself out for Boston. Let's say something happens in the first 2 minutes of this game, six, and it doesn't go their way, and the Blues are on the power play. Are they going to just blow up and lose it? I mean, it's possible. It's possible with the way they're set up right now.
I think the funny part about this, and we keep talking about the missed call, but the fans, the Boston fans, saying, well, it's obvious that the NHL wants the Blues to win, or
right.
Just like Roger Goodell is in control of the NHL, and I'm sitting there thinking, how many championships have you won, and how many Super Bowls have you won, all of which have huge question mark that the league has just kind of, you know, done a very light punishment in comparison to what they could have done with the proof that they had. I mean, you haven't won a championship in 3 months, and it's like, oh, well, obviously they don't want Boston to win. How can you say that you have 15 championships or whatever it is? It's unreal. That's the best.
That's why I'm saying this. Look. We live in St. Louis. We root for St. Louis, even if you're in the media. Are you really going to pretend like you don't want the Blues to win? Okay, if you want to be that guy, you're Mr. Reporter. Okay. I think most people, you'd want the team in your hometown to win. But all I'm saying is, I agree with you, Plowsy, in the fact that, look, was that a bad call, in my opinion? Yes. Was there some borderline hits that were borderline dirty? Absolutely. But this is hockey. It's a physical game. Robert Thomas was knocked out. The difference between a clean hit and a dirty hit, when a guy going however many miles per hour on skates ducks out, I mean, I don't think some of these hits are intentionally dirty, but sometimes they end up being that way. But the greater point is what you just said. I can never feel sorry for a Boston sports fan, ever, because they're arrogant. Yeah. They win everything. I'm never going to feel sorry for you. Like, even if you're right, even if it's unfair, I will never feel sorry for you ever. I'm sorry. You've won enough. And again, as Jimmy Huer brought up in the previous segment, you are also harboring Brad Marchand. So you can't complain ever, because he's arguably, or maybe not even arguably, the dirtiest player in the NHL. So you have no reason to complain.
It's just funny that, like, they're going crazy with this three-month drought that now every sports league is against them, which is, I mean, from the outside looking in, is the complete opposite. I mean, it's almost like, you know, some of those leagues benefit from you continuing to win championships. So let's slow your roll.
And again, this is actually a compliment. You might be taking this, Boston, as we're ripping on you. No, this is actually
you dominate.
This
let
is
us
actually
have
jealousy.
One.
Let us have one. Not that. But my point is, St. Louis also deserves one.
Yes.
St. Louis deserves a few breaks. Okay, it's been 52 years. There are a lot of Mount Rushmores of horrible calls going against St. Louis sports teams going back 10, 20, 30, 40 years. It's okay, as Frank Cusumano said earlier, that the Blues catch a break every once in a while. Let's listen to Craig Berube talking about Jordan Binnington's night.
Yeah, he was excellent all game and did a great job in the first period for sure. They came hard, Boston. You know, we were tested in the first for sure. And Binner stood tall. You know, big reason we won the game.
And how about Binner now on how he was able to handle Boston's ridiculous pressure in the first period?
You know, we knew they were going to come hard, and the first period was huge. And we just battled it out, and, you know, we trusted each other and stayed with it. And, you know, got better as the game went on. And, yeah, we were one game away. So, you know, that first period's huge, so we got to prepare and, you know, stay composed and be disciplined.
All right, we'll finish up the post-game sound here before we break. Coming on the other side, but Ryan O'Reilly now with 20 points, leading the Blues, had the first goal last night on the Blues playing a similar style as back when Craig Berube played.
Yeah, I think from the day, you know, first day Chief came in and kind of took over, it was, you know, getting us to play hard. He wanted us hard on every play, and I think with the personnel that we have, you know, if we're doing that, you know, things are going to be, you know, more often than not, we're going to put ourselves in a good spot. And, you know, I think that helped us find an identity early in this, or when the change happened, and, you know, help us grew into, you know, being more consistent with that, you know, hard nose, you know, playing, being tough to play against.
And one more from Ryan O'Reilly talking about the importance of Zach Sanford, who had played three games in the Winnipeg series, then doesn't play at all against Dallas, San Jose, and is able to play when Sundqvist is knocked out, had the unbelievable between-the-legs pass for the O'Reilly goal, and now has assists in three straight games, Zach Sanford.
Yeah, I think, you know, since he's been in, he's made an impact. As you can see, not only on the score sheet with, you know, making big plays and getting points, but, you know, just overall, you know, wearing teams down, it's being physical at the right time or making plays and having that puck possession. He's, you know, he's been a huge piece and finding a way for us to, you know, create against this team.
That's Ryan O'Reilly post game last night. Blues 2-1 win over the Bruins and now lead the Stanley Cup final 3-2 with the chance to close it out Sunday night on home ice. That's going to be an incredible atmosphere at Enterprise Center. We'll take a break. Andy Strickland talking Blues hockey on the other side. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy, on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.